The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937, by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up today, from blindabilities.com, because Apple announced their new lineup of stuff on the 9th. Podcast summary. Jeff and Tim treat Apple's big show like a fun night at the movies, and the take is refreshingly simple. iPhone Air gets ultra-thin with 256 gigs standard, while the Pro models flex 48 megapixels and clever software. But for confident blind users, the win isn't megapixels, it's brains. Center stage keeps you framed, dual recording grabs you and the scene at once, and on-device smarts promise better OCR and object recognition. AirPods 3 hold the price, boost sound, add heart rate, and flirt with live translation for easy bilingual chats. Apple Watch leans into health, sleep, and fast top-ups, with SE keeping it friendly on the wallet. Prices feel steady, choices feel sane, and the event's audio description shines. Upgrade if it fits your use case. Otherwise, a fresh battery and enjoying the moment might be the best feature of all. On a related thread from Anthony Corona's Substack.com, to take a bite out of the Pro or Air Apple. To take a bite out of the Pro or Air Apple, my impressions by Anthony Corona. Author's note, I am not an expert, but a user who invests my time to understand and is about to invest my treasure to upgrade. These impressions are meant to inspire you to seek your own information on top of the overview I'm presenting here. Overall, I am impressed with some of the accessible features being either upgraded or introduced this year. This is just my take on the iPhone 17 event. So, the Apple event happened. Was it thrilling? Not really. I found it kind of boring to watch, but let's be honest, this is still Apple, and they are still shaping the way we interact with tech. My iPhone 15 Pro is starting to feel ready for retirement, so it looks like I will be upgrading. The question is whether I jump into the iPhone 17 Pro or test drive the brand new Air. Either way, there is plenty for us in the blind and low vision community to pay attention to. The new iPhone Air, thin, light, and bright, up to 3,000 nits bright. This is great news for low vision users who actually want to see their screens outdoors without feeling like they are roasting under the sun. The lighter build means easier one-hand use, less wrist fatigue, and it just feels more manageable if you are juggling a guide dog harness, a cane, or a latte. In other words, I can finally text while holding Bodhi's harness without feeling like I am competing in a hand strength competition. Cameras across the board. All iPhone 17 models now feature 48 megapixel cameras. That means scanning documents, menus, mail, or signs with OCR apps will be quicker and sharper. Apple's own magnifier app gets a boost, too. On the Pro models, LiDAR is sticking around, so door detection and spatial navigation features are safe. If you have ever walked into the wrong door at a hotel or convention center, you know how valuable this is. Trust me, I have walked into a broom closet more than once, and it was not magical like in Narnia. The action button. It is back, and better. You can assign it to launch magnifier, toggle voiceover, or even run a shortcut that combines flashlight and text reading in one tap. This saves so many swipes and taps. For me, that is one press to the features I use most, and that is a huge time saver. One button to rule them all, and honestly, Frodo would have been jealous. The N1 wireless chip. This powers Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth 6, Thread, and a new 5G modem. What that means for us is faster AirDrop, stronger personal hotspots, and smarter home controls. Imagine arriving home, telling Siri to unlock the door, and having the lights and music all respond instantly. Less frustration, more independence. Now, if only Siri could also pour me a glass of wine when I walk in, we would really be talking. Accessibility nutrition labels. Coming to the App Store, these labels will tell you if an app supports voiceover, larger text, captions, and more before you even download it. That is less guesswork and fewer wasted downloads. Honestly, this one excites me almost as much as the new hardware. Think of it like reading the ingredients on your cereal box, but instead of sugar grams, you are checking your voiceover compatibility. Find My gets sharper. With second-generation ultra-wideband, AirTags and accessories can now be tracked with even more precise haptics and audio cues. So yes, my keys lost in the couch cushions will be found faster, and I will feel less like a detective in a sitcom. Somewhere, Columbo is sighing in disappointment. iOS 26 features. VoiceOver, Zoom, Magnifier, Personal Voice, Live Speech, Eye Tracking, and Braille Display support all continue to evolve. There are also new shortcuts for accessibility built directly into Control Center, better sound separation in phone calls and FaceTime, and even smarter Siri requests that can chain multiple commands together. Magnifier adds improved detection modes with faster text capture and better haptic feedback. Live Speech has new voices, and Personal Voice can now be stored securely in iCloud, making it easier to move to new devices. For those with low vision, color filters and text adjustments are now even more customizable. Accessibility is becoming more visible system-wide, which is long overdue. It is almost like Apple finally realized we exist. Screens and displays. All models now have smoother refresh rates, and the Air model is pushing brightness to a level that makes it almost like a spotlight in your pocket. For anyone who struggles in sunlight, that is a real improvement. It might also mean fewer headaches for folks sensitive to dimming and flicker. Translation, fewer excuses to avoid poolside selfies. eSIM reality. Some models are eSIM only, so if you are someone who swaps carriers often or travels internationally, you will need to plan ahead with your carrier. The setup is getting easier, but it still requires a little patience. And let us be honest, patience is not exactly Apple's strongest selling point. Battery and efficiency. Apple is promising better battery life across the board, with Pro models lasting longer under heavy camera and accessibility use. The new A19 Pro chip is faster and more efficient, which will help with OCR, gaming, and multitasking. For us, it means VoiceOver should feel snappier and more responsive. Fewer spinning wheels, more doing what I actually asked. Cameras and accessibility apps. The better cameras not only help with OCR, but should improve apps like Be My Eyes and Era, making video calls clearer and sharper. That means the sighted helpers we connect with can see more detail and give us better guidance. Basically, no more asking if that mystery can is chicken noodle soup or dog food. Smart home and Thread support. Thread makes your phone a stronger hub for smart devices. If you are already invested in lights, locks, and other tools that make independent living easier, this is a quiet but powerful upgrade. It is the kind of invisible magic that makes me wonder how I ever lived without it. AirPods Pro 3 and live translation. I would be remiss if I did not talk about the AirPods Pro 3. Live translation is coming, and I am beyond eager to test this out in the real world. Living in Miami, where English is sometimes the third language, this could be a complete game changer. From chatting with my neighbors in Spanish to ordering food at my favorite Cuban spot, the potential here is huge. No more smiling and nodding while hoping I caught the gist. Health upgrades. The health-related updates in AirPods Pro 3 are just as exciting. There are new features for hearing health, sound awareness, and even subtle wellness monitoring. For me, this feels like a merging of convenience and care. It is not just about listening to music or podcasts anymore. It is about devices that genuinely look out for us. When tech steps into the role of protector as well as entertainer, that is something worth celebrating. Bottom line, the event itself may have been dull, but the technology is not. For blind and low vision users, we are looking at faster OCR, sharper cameras, one-press shortcuts to our favorite tools, smarter connectivity, and an app store that finally tells us up front whether an app will work with our accessibility settings. That is exciting. For me, it's definitely upgrade time. The only question left is, do I go Pro for the LiDAR and full power, or do I go Air for the lightness and that bright, bright display? Stay tuned, because I'm still deciding. Footnotes, yours, Anthony Corona, pronouns he, him, host and producer of Sunday Edition. Sunday Edition at, let's see, SundayEditionac at gmail.com. On the other side of the aisle, from acb.org, BITS, Microsoft, and the American Council of the Blind launch groundbreaking accessibility partnership. Dateline Tucson, Arizona, September 5th. Blind Information. Technology Specialists, BITS, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, ACB, is proud to announce the landmark 9-month partnership with Microsoft Corporation. This initiative will empower BITS members to directly influence the future of accessibility across Microsoft Narrator and M365 apps such as Word and Outlook, ensuring technology continues to break down barriers and open doors for people who are blind or have low vision. At the heart of this collaboration is a shared belief that accessibility is not an afterthought, but a fundamental driver of innovation. Though through monthly scenario-based evaluations, selected BITS participants will provide rich real-world feedback on their user experiences. Their insights will help Microsoft refine and expand accessibility features, making everyday technology more inclusive for millions of people worldwide. This project reflects our core mission, said Jeff Bishop, president of BITS. The primary goal of BITS is to truly meet people where they are and to empower people through the use of technology. This partnership will allow BITS members to not only have a significant impact on the future of software and technology, but it also gives our members who apply an opportunity to supplement their income and to be recognized for their efforts. Microsoft echoed the significance of the collaboration. Accessibility is a priority for Microsoft, and we are proud to collaborate across the community to advance our products. We welcome feedback from blind and low vision users and are excited to extend our partnership with ACB to do just that. Partnering with BITS and ACB allows us to listen directly to the voices of blind and low vision users, said Clint Covington, E+D Accessibility Group Program Manager for Microsoft. Their lived experiences are invaluable in guiding the evolution of Windows Narrator and M365 apps, such as Word and Outlook, especially as we add more AI capabilities. The American Council of the Blind also praised the initiative. ACB is proud to support this partnership, which places our members at the center of product innovation, said Colby Garrison, Accessibility and Training Services Coordinator with ACB. This program not only advances accessibility, but also recognizes the expertise of blind and low vision individuals, making them partners in shaping the technology of tomorrow. By engaging directly with Microsoft, BITS members will gain unique opportunities for professional growth, recognition, and tangible contributions to the technologies they rely on daily. For Microsoft, the partnership offers authentic insights from end users whose lived experiences are essential to designing truly inclusive products. This is more than just a partnership. It's a chance for our community to leave a lasting mark on the tools that shape modern life, Bishop added. About blind information technology specialists, BITS. BITS is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind dedicated to supporting blind and visually impaired individuals in technology. Through education, mentorship, and advocacy, BITS fosters an inclusive community where members at all levels of experience can thrive. About the American Council of the Blind, ACB. The American Council of the Blind is a national member-driven consumer organization representing Americans who are blind or have low vision. With 65 affiliates, ACB strives to increase independence, security, equality of opportunity, and to improve the quality of life for all people who are blind or have low vision. For more information, visit www.acb.org. Contact information, Jeff Bishop, ACB, Alexandria, Virginia, United States, telephone 202-467-5081. Website, visit our website. Visit our blog. From the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, Facebook group, Sarah and Stevie Erb, ERB, post, Blind Americans urge the Department of Education to reinstate funding for critical programs that benefit the blind. Earlier this week, the National Federation of the Blind learned that the U.S. Department of Education was canceling funding for 25 competitive grants that fall under Part D of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, idea. And 9 grants that are distributed by the Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA. Critically, of the programs being cut under the RSA is funding for 235E grants, which are specifically tailored to train educators of blind students to be more fluent in Braille. The National Federation of the Blind instigated the creation of these Braille demonstration program grants nearly 30 years ago, and they have had a tremendous positive outcome on Braille literacy in that time. As if that wasn't bad enough, the grants that were cut also included federal funding for 4 technical assistance centers for families of deafblind children. How members can help. We know that Braille literacy in our youth often leads to better performance in school, the ability to obtain and keep employment as an adult, and the freedom to live a life of independence. That all begins with educators who understand and can teach Braille themselves. Additionally, we know that our deafblind brothers and sisters and their families truly benefit from the opportunity to utilize training centers across the country, and that any decrease in funding will be detrimental to living independently. We need to flood the U.S. Department of Education with calls and emails and urge them to maintain these important funding grants. That's where you come in. We are asking that you call or email the U.S. Department of Education and urge them to reinstate this critical funding to support Braille literacy and independence. If you are emailing, please send your messages to idea@ed.gov and linda.mcmahon@ed.gov. If you are calling, please call 202-245-7468. Sample script. When you call or email, you might say, "My name is blank, and I want to urge Secretary McMahon to reinstate the grant funding for IDEA Part D programs as well as the RSA 235E grants. This funding is critical to support increased Braille literacy for teachers of blind students and the blind youth of America. Studies have shown that students who can read Braille go on to have better education outcomes and better employment outcomes later in life. Additionally, I'm also asking that you reinstate funding for the 4 deafblind technical assistance centers in Oregon, Washington, Wisconsin, and Massachusetts. Please allow today's blind and deafblind students to have an opportunity to better themselves for a brighter future for all of us. We suggest a subject like, please reinstate critical funding for blind and deafblind students. If you email, please copy justinyoung@nfb.org. About the National Federation of the Blind, boilerplate. Government Affairs Contact, Justin Young, Governmental Affairs Specialist, National Federation of the Blind, 410-659-9314, extension 2210, JYOUNG@nfb.org. This wonderful news from Ireland out of UL.ie. UL graduate designs world's first fully accessible saliva-based pregnancy test for visually impaired women. Breadcrumbs. A new University of Limerick product design and technology graduate has made her mark with an innovative final year project tackling healthcare inequality. Leah Shanahan from Tralee County, Kerry, has designed the world's first fully accessible multisensory pregnancy test. She is one of 3,678 students graduating from the University of Limerick. Inspired by personal experience as a visually impaired woman and driven by the blind women she met throughout the design process, Leia's design is the first saliva-based reusable accessible pregnancy test to deliver results through touch, sight, and sound. AMY addresses a practical healthcare challenge through user-centered design with inclusivity at the heart of the product. The reader uses photosensor technology similar to that found in digital pregnancy tests. A raised plus or minus symbol on the reader can be felt by touch. It also includes a feature that allows users to tap their phone to open a web page where they will view a bold red or green symbol along with large high contrast text for those who are partially sighted. And users can also choose to hear the result aloud. When Leah realized that blind and visually impaired women were the only group excluded from the intimate moment of discovering their own pregnancy, she was driven to find a better solution, and Amy was born. I wanted to create a product that restores independence and dignity in this experience, using my skills in design and my understanding of accessibility to make a real difference, Leah said. Through its considered design, Leah hopes that Amy will help to restore privacy and independence to blind and visually impaired women during the testing process. The multisensory approach ensures that users with different levels of vision or additional disabilities can independently access their results with confidence and dignity. Leah's parents discovered that she was visually impaired when she was 4 years old. I was born with sight in only one eye, and it wasn't until I was 4 years old and I asked my mom which eye was her bad eye that we found out that I was legally blind in one of my eyes, she recalled. I have poor peripheral vision on my left, and my friends laugh at me squinting to see things in the distance. But overall, it's not much different than any other person who has poor vision. Despite her diagnosis, Leah doesn't think that her visual impairment has influenced her life much at all. I think it's important that I don't overstate my experience of sight loss, especially since working with the blind women I spoke with for this project and seeing how it affects every aspect of their life. My experience of sight loss served as an inspiration for this project, but without them sharing their lived experiences, this project never would have been possible, she added. Speaking about their experience of working with Leah, one of the research participants, Jackie McBrarty, said, I really appreciated Leah coming into the blind community to get our views on what would work for us and what wouldn't. Her design gives blind women privacy during one of the biggest moments of their lives, which could be either the worst or the best thing ever for them. I do not doubt that Leah will go far in her career, she added. According to Leah, creativity has always been a big part of her life. Although she originally came to UL to study physics and math, she felt there wasn't enough of a creative outlet for her. After switching to product design and technology, Leah found a home in the studio with her fellow design students. I was never someone who enjoyed spending time studying, so although the long days could be tough, it was always so great getting to spend that time being creative and problem-solving. I've also made some of my closest lifelong friends working alongside my peers in the studio during those long days, so I'll always be very fond of the time I spent in studio, Leah reflected. Leah was supervised throughout her final year design project by Associate Professor Dr. Louise Kiernan, School of Architecture and Product Design. Dr. Kiernan said, Leah has been a dedicated student and a pleasure to work with. She has designed a very much needed product and showed great empathy and understanding of her research participants and worked with them to create a very innovative solution. Reflecting on her creative design journey, Leah said, What keeps me curious is connecting with people. I love listening to other people's stories and experiences. There's always something new to learn from the way someone else sees the world. I think being open to those conversations and to collaborating with others sparks new ideas and helps me look at things from different perspectives, she added. Another post from Anthony Corona on the Assistive Technology Community for the Blind and Visually Impaired Facebook group. It's Swahili, When the Sighted World Doesn't Understand VoiceOver, by Anthony Corona. Author's note, I really want to give credit to my niece, who was a major help in the early days of my blindness. YouTube, Wiki, and all the TECK that I had no translation for with blindness would have been impossible without her help, patience, and love. Thanks, Jess. The first time someone heard my iPhone talking at lightning speed, they tilted their head like a curious puppy and asked, What language is that? Without missing a beat, I replied, Swahili. It has become my go-to joke whenever the sighted world stumbles into the rapid-fire rhythm of voiceover. Of course, once I have had my laugh, I shift into teacher mode and explain that it is not an exotic language. It is voiceover, the built-in screen reader on every iPhone. For me, voiceover runs at speed 80, with high velocity. In the early days of my blindness, I kept it at a modest 50. My ears and brain had to adjust to the idea of consuming the world in sound instead of sight. Over time, I nudged the speed higher and higher until 80 became my sweet spot. At that pace, I can fly through emails, texts, and documents like a caffeinated auctioneer. Every now and then, when I need to slow down and savor the details, or when I want to move word by word to extract something specific, I dial it back. Most of the time, though, 80 is where I live. When people ask me how I got here, I have to admit that in the beginning I was stumbling in the dark. Pun absolutely intended. I did not have services right away, and I did not even know such services existed. So I did what many of us do in the 21st century. I went to YouTube. I dug through Apple's website. I found blind tech groups on social media. Piece by piece, I began teaching myself. That self-education meant learning the basics the hard way. I discovered that a single finger swipe right or left moves you from one element on the screen to the next. A double tap activates whatever's in focus. A two-finger swipe down tells VoiceOver to start reading everything on the screen from the top. Pinching, flicking, and rotating two fingers on the glass are not fancy tricks. They are everyday navigation. At first, it felt like trying to play the piano with oven mitts on, but eventually my hands and ears caught up with my brain. People are always stunned to learn that my phone is the same standard iPhone they carry. No special edition, no extra hardware, just a feature sitting quietly under accessibility. In the settings menu. When I demonstrate what VoiceOver can do, jaws drop. My phone can read out a message, help me locate a doorway, or even translate a sign in real time. Suddenly, the thing they use to scroll social media or check the weather becomes a portal to independence. The question I get most often is, how can you possibly understand that? My polite answer is that, like any skill, you practice until it becomes second nature. My less polite answer, depending on the moment, is something like, how can you possibly read the fine print on a medicine bottle without a magnifying glass? Both are true. You adapt, and once you adapt, it feels effortless. Of course, the real fun begins when I have multiple notifications pouring in at once. The chorus of emails, texts, and app alerts sounds like my own personal symphony. And yes, sometimes even I need to hit pause to catch up. Most of the time, though, it's a rhythm I enjoy. The information flows, I stay in control, and I get to remind people that blindness is not a wall. It is simply another way of navigating the same world. And here's the best part. You can try this yourself without damaging your phone or changing anything permanently. On any iPhone, go to Settings, then Accessibility, then VoiceOver. Toggle it on and your screen will begin talking to you. Swipe left or right with one finger to move through items, double tap to activate, and swipe up or down with two fingers to start or stop continuous reading. Play with it for 5 minutes and you'll get a taste of the world I live in. When you are ready to turn it off, simply ask Siri to turn VoiceOver off or return to the Accessibility menu and toggle it back. No harm done and a brand new perspective gained. So yes, it may sound like Swahili, but to me it is clarity, efficiency, and freedom. And if I can make you laugh while teaching you something new, that is a win on all sides. I am not a remarkable because I can listen at this rate of speech. I am not remarkable because I am blind and can still communicate. Even when someone blurts out, "Wait, you're blind. How can you possibly text?" I mostly laugh, shrug it off, and start the cycle of education all over again. I am running out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you have enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and low vision or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. I hope you've already bought your tickets for the gala next Thursday, Friday the 19th at 5 p.m. at the Crabtree Valley Mall Marriott. The Thursday the 11th was the last day to buy your tickets, so I hope to see you there.